Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kaf Chet, Chapter 28. Let's recap Perek Kaf Zayin, Chapter 27. Last Perek was very short, only 12 verses. David did not trust Shaul to cease and desist from pursuing him, so he escapes to the Plishtim to Achish Melech Gat. Achish gives David the city of Ziklag as his camp because David does not want to be in the main city of Gat. And while David is in Ziklag, he attacks against the nations of Geshuri, Gizri, Amaleki, and doesn't leave any survivors, takes spoils, brings them to Achish Melech Gat. And when Achish Melech Gat asks, where'd you get these spoils? David answers that they are from Judea, the Keni, the family of Yerachmieli in the Negev, i.e. David is saying that he attacked his own Judean relatives in order to bring spoils to Achish. So Achish thinks, he's loyal to me and not to his family. And David did this all the days that he was in the Plishtim's territory. So Achish really believes that he despises his people, and David will be loyal to Achish, to the Philistines, forever. So we see that David has to act in a very ruthless way when he is in the area of Plishtim. And the question is this showing us what a great, smart warrior David is? Or that war can be brutal, and sometimes it makes us, act in ways, especially if we're not in our own territory. These prakim are going to pivot from Shaul to David constantly. Let's see what happens in our chapter, in Perek Kaf Chet. Our Perek begins with two verses that really should be in the last Perek. When the Christians divided up the chapters in Tanakh, when they were debating with the Jews in the Jewish-Christian polemics, they organized the prakim, and that always doesn't fit in with how we as Jews would organize the text. In the Masoretic text, we don't have these kind of divisions. But when Tanakh was published, it just was a very useful way to divide up the text. The first two psukim, the first two verses describe David and Achish, the Philistine king of Gat. Achish wants David to fight alongside him in his battle versus Israel, and David answers equivocally and ambiguously, "You know what I, your servant, will do." And Achish responds, "Therefore, you will be my bodyguard forever." And we will come back to this in our next chapters, but the main focus of this perek is Shaul. It mentions again in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, that Shaul dies. We know this already. But Rashi explains that the Navi introduces this story with these words to highlight how alone Shaul feels at this moment of crisis. The Plishtim gathered their forces at Shunem, and Shaul and the Israelites are camping on Mount Gilboa. When Shaul sees the Philistine camp, he is very fearful. Right? We have this theme over and over and over again in Shmuel Aleph. Vayecherad libo. Me'od. He is very fearful. Shaul asks Hashem, and he doesn't answer. Not even in dreams. Not through the breastplate. And not with prophets. Vayish'al Shaul b'Hashem, v'lo anahu Hashem, gam b'chalomot, gam ba'urim, gam b'nevi'im. One of Shaul's greatest accomplishments was to remove all the soothsayers from Israel. But now, when he feels abandoned, he goes looking for a woman who is a ba'alat ov, a woman who practices necromancy, communicating with the dead. Rashi comments that Hashem isn't answering him in any fashion, especially the Urim the Tumim, the breastplate, because Shaul was the one who murdered Nov, the city of the Kohanim, the priests who wear the breastplate. So he does not deserve to be answered with the adornment of the Kohen, the priest. His servants tell him there is a necromancer in the city of Endor, and Shaul gets dressed up to visit her. He does not want Bnei Israel to know that he's inquiring a necromancer, that Hashem has left him and is not answering him, because these were those very same practitioners that he banned. And also, he might not want her to recognize him. However, between you and me, if she is good, she should be able to see right through the costume, no? When he arrives, she tells him that he is endangering her life because Shaul removed all those practicing the black arts. And he swears nothing will happen to you. He requests her to raise Shmuel. And when Shmuel rises, she cries out and says, "You tricked me. You are Shaul." And he tells her, "Don't be afraid. What you see? What you see?" And she responds, "Elohim ra'iti olim min ha'aretz." A divine being is rising up from the ground. Or a great judge. "How does he look?" asks Shaul. And she replies, "He's old and wearing a cloak." And Shaul knows right away it's Shmuel. And he bows down. Shmuel is upset that he was raised from the dead. "Lama hir gaztani?" And Shaul answers, we're doing verses 15 to 19, Tetvav to Yutet. "Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul, lama hir gaztani la lototi? Vayomer Shaul, tsar li me'od, plishtim nilchamim bi, velokim sar me'alai, velo anani ot gam biyad hanevi'im, gam b'chalomot, v'ekra'a lecha lo dieni ma'eseh." Shmuel said to Shaul, "Why have you disturbed me and brought me up?" And Shaul answers, "I am in great trouble. The Plishtim are attacking me. Hashem has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, not by prophets, not in dreams. So I have called you to tell me, what am I to do?" You can hear the panic in Shaul's voice. Hashem is shutting him out. He is not answering him, not with prophets, not with dreams. All the commentators note that the order is switched here, giving pride of place to prophecy and excluding the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate. And they all answer that even Shaul at this moment is embarrassed about his killing Nov, the city of the Kohanim, the priest, so he omits mentioning the breastplate here. Vayomer Shmuel, lama tishaleini v'Hashem sar me'alecha v'hi arecha. And Shmuel says, "Why do you ask me? Hashem has turned away from you and has become your enemy, your adversary." "Vayas Hashem lo kasher diber biyadi, vayikra Hashem et hamamlacha miyadeka, v'itna l'reacha l'David." And Hashem says, "The kingship is ripped from you and it's going to be given to your fellow, to David." "Kasher lo shamata bekol Hashem, v'lo asita charon apo ba'amalek, al ken hadavar haze asa lacha Hashem ayom haze." Because you did not obey Hashem and did not execute his wrath upon Amalek, that is why this is happening to you today. "Vayiten Hashem gam et Yisrael imcha biyad plishtim, u'machar ata u'banecha imi. Gam et ha-machane Yisrael yiten Hashem biyad plishtim." Furthermore, Hashem will deliver the Israelites who are with you in this battle into the hands of the plishtim. And tomorrow, your sons and you will be with me. And Hashem will also deliver the Israelite forces into the hands of the plishtim. Shaul receives a very bitter message. Number one, Hashem is now his adversary, his enemy. Number two, that the kingship will be ripped from Shaul and go to David. Number three, because Shaul did not listen to the voice of Hashem, and because he did not destroy Amalek as commanded, that's why this is happening. And number four, that Bnei Israel will fall in the hands of the Plishtim, and he and his sons will join Shmuel, meaning they all will die tomorrow. This prophecy comes true. We'll see in the next Prakim. So all the commentators ask, how could this necromancer have really raised Shmuel? And how could she have given through Shmuel a true prophecy? We don't believe in black magic. So there are many different views. I thought some of you would find it interesting, so I am going to discuss some of them. The Gaon, Rav Shmuel ben Chofni, says it was a sham. And Ralbag says it was all the power of suggestion. She's just doing a lot of things and thinking, you know, what probably Shmuel would say, but it's not happening. But the other commentators say, but how did she know the details of the future? It really comes true. So even the rationalists that do not believe that there is anything to black magic, Rav Hai Gaon and Rav Saadia Gaon, say that Hashem really does it in order to inform Shaul of his future, because he's not getting answers from any other source. The Akedat Yitzchak said that she started the process, and then Shmuel continues, which means she doesn't really have power, but, you know, she just starts the process, and then Shmuel does the rest. And the Malbim says that for the first 12 months, the body and the soul are still connected on some level, and they're in this constant dance and struggle, and that's how she was able to raise them. I thought people might find some of these ideas interesting. When Shaul hears this, right, the message, he falls his full weight and height and is very fearful. The Balat Ov, the necromancer, says, listen, I listened to your request and put my life in my hands. Now you listen to me. Shma na. I am going to give you food so you will have strength to continue. Now initially he refuses, but in the end he listens to her voice. Vayishma lekolam. She prepares meat and matzah, and they eat and they go on their way that night. As we said earlier, these chapters are written to contrast the actions of David and the actions of Shaul, and to show why David is worthy to be king. Shaul is not answered by any mechanism connected to Hashem. Not prophets, not dreams, not the Urim V'Tumim. He is fearful. He listens to the Baalat Ov and eats her food. He hears the prophecy that predicts the death of his family and the end of his monarchy. David, on the other hand, is always answered by Hashem, even the smallest request. He is valiant fighting against the enemy, not fearful of the enemy. David listens to the smart, amazing Jewish woman Avigail, not the Baalat Ov, like Shaul listens to the Baalat Ov, right? We said the leitmotif, the Mila Mancha here. Listen, listen, listen. Shaul listens to the voice of the Baalat Ov, the necromancer, while David listens to the voice of Avigail and eats her food and learns a lesson that redirects his life and guarantees that he will be the next king. A study in contrasts. So let's sum up. It mentions again in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, that Shaul dies. We know that already. But Rashi explains that the Navi introduces this story with these words to highlight how alone Shaul feels at this moment of crisis. The Plishtim gathered their forces at Shunem, and Shaul and the Israelites are camping on Mount Gilboa. When Shaul sees the Plishtim camp, he is so fearful, vayecherad libo, me'od. Shaul asks Hashem and he doesn't answer, not in dreams, not in the breastplate, and not with the prophets. One of Shaul's greatest accomplishments was to remove all the soothsayers from Israel. But now when he feels abandoned, he goes looking for a woman who is a Baalat Ov, a woman who practices necromancy, communicating with the dead. Rashi comments that Hashem isn't answering him in any fashion, especially the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate, because he murdered the city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim, the priests that wear the breastplate. His servants tell him that there is a necromancer in the city of Ein Dor, and Shaul gets dressed up and visits her. He does not want Bnei Israel to know that he is inquiring a necromancer. When he arrives, she tells him he's endangering her life because Shaul removed all those practicing the black arts. How ironic. And he swears nothing will happen to you. He requests her to raise Shmuel. And when Shmuel rises, she cries out and says, you tricked me, you are Shaul. And he tells her, don't be afraid, what did you see? And she says, Elohim ra'iti olim min ha'aretz, a divine being is coming up from the ground. And Shmuel gives Shaul a very bitter pill, a very bitter message, that Hashem is his adversary, that the kingship will be ripped from him and go to David, that he lost all this because he did not listen to the voice of Hashem and did not destroy Amalek, and that Bnei Israel will fall in the hands of the Plishtim, and tomorrow Shaul and his sons will die. And this prophecy comes true. When Shaul hears this, he falls his full height and is very fearful. The Baalat Ov says, listen, I listen to you, you listen to me. You have to eat to get strength, and she prepares him food. As we said earlier, these chapters are written to contrast the actions of David and Shaul and show why David is worthy to be king. Shaul is not answered by any mechanism connected to Hashem. He's fearful. He listens to the Baalat Ov and eats her food. And he hears the prophecy that predicts the death of his family and the end of his monarchy. David, on the other hand, is always answered by Hashem, is valiant, not fearful of the enemy. And he listens to the amazing Jewish woman Abigail, eats her food, and learns a lesson for his future. Will Shaul do tshuva and save his kingship and his sons? Or is it too late? Will David falter and fail in the camp of the Plishtim? Let's see what happens in our next perek, perek kaftet, perek 29. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.